I'm John Best with my colleague and friend, Evan Ellis, the professor of Latin American research at the U.S. Army War College. I told the professor I would start this conversation with a quote from a man named Oscar Benavides. He was a dictator in Peru, 1933. And his quote is applicable to both Venezuela and Brazil and perhaps other states in Latin America and elsewhere. He said, "For my friends, everything. For my enemies, the law." News from Reuters. Brazil police investigate Bolsonaro's stay in February at Hungary embassy. This according to a source. Following the revelation that Brazil is looking to indict former President Bolsonaro for vaccine card fraud, also possibly move against former President Bolsonaro for plotting a coup with military officials now who have now retired. Also, there is reporting that they're moving against former President Bolsonaro's son for money laundering. And most recently, there was a report about moving against former President Bolsonaro's vice presidential candidate for unknown allegations. And again, I remind, for my friends, everything, for my enemies, the law. Calling it lawfare, however, doesn't tell the whole story. The puzzle here, week after week, is why? Professor, the puzzle for me, being a logical person and not understanding the politics of Brazil at all, is that Bolsonaro was defeated by Lula da Silva, who is now in his third term as president of Brazil, meaning he controls the apparatus entirely. Bolsonaro has been disenfranchised from running in the next cycle. Therefore, he's not going to be in a ballot opposite Lula da Silva, presuming Lula wants to run again and can be allowed to, but constitutionally. And Bolsonaro remains in Brazil. He has not fled like Correa. He's sitting right there being harassed all the time by these allegations. But as of yet, they haven't come to a courtroom trial. So what is it that Lula da Silva is achieving, keeping Bolsonaro in the news? Thank you.
Thank you, John. Well, it's not entirely clear what it is he's achieving. Certainly, there is significant damage that is gone on as this process plays out in Brazilians' confidence in the electoral as well as the judicial system. But as you also pointed out through that quote, it goes to a much larger phenomenon that presents some real risks to the foundations of democracy in the United States, in Latin America, elsewhere in the world, which is that democracy in part depends, as you and I both know, on faith in the relative impartiality of the judicial system. And when there's a perception that those systems are used in politicized ways, that undermines the faith of people in the system in general and opens them up to, you know, pursuing or permitting radical solutions. And we've seen this on the populist left with, we just talked about Venezuela and the use of control over the system by Nicolas Maduro. We see it with the Ortegas in Nicaragua. We see it to a certain extent on the right with the president of El Salvador, Bukele, etc. We have seen accusations of it in the United States, with the various charges against former President Trump. And in Brazil, the issue is that while there certainly seems to be a range of different instances of wrongdoing, the question is to what degree is the level of prosecutions reflect a desire really to be punitive and really destroy that element of the right? And to what degree is the perceived non-impartiality of that farther polarizing those in Brazil, especially in the center right, who see themselves as excluded from the system? And as you pointed out, Bolsonaro himself has already been politically inhabilitated until 2030. Not unlike what happened in the U.S. With the legacy of January 6th. With Brazil's similar event, the January 8th protests in a basically a closed series of government installations. You now have investigations that appear to be coming out with respect to the previous vice president, former General Walter Braga Neto, saying that he wanted to bring a special operations unit into the Capitol to foment a coup, but supposedly the Army and Navy wouldn't allow it. You mentioned some of the legal charges that have been brought in terms of the COVID, the falsification of Bolsonaro's vaccination card. You mentioned that the charges against at least actually multiple sons, but most recently the money laundering charge. One of the new drivers in this press and the Supreme Court Judge Alejandro de Moraes seems to be one of the key drivers of continuing a lot of these charges. But one of the key elements that seems to have broken here is that former aide of Bolsonaro, Mauro Cid, who was arrested last May on a different set of charges. It appears that he has essentially copped a plea deal with the Lula government, and that apparently on his laptop there may have been a draft coup decree. Bottom line, it appears to be that kind of his cooperation now against his former boss Bolsonaro seems to be accelerating some of the pressing of these charges of what may or may not have been discussion of a coup among the Brazilian military, at the very least among certain elements that we mentioned. But again, as this plays out, some of it's real, but it certainly is having a very destructive indirect effect on democracy and in the faith of a certain group within Brazil's right, faith in their institutions and what has long been a relatively tolerant country with low levels of political violence.
I mentioned there is also a report of arrests about an assassination in the Rio area of a legislator by other legislatures or links to that. Rio de Janeiro. Bolsonaro's strength is said to be in Sao Paulo. So we will follow this story because the charges, there's no reason to believe they're going to end. However, we need to turn to other states where there is a question of transparency and the courts. We're going to go to Colombia and Ecuador on our way to Mexico. Professor Evan Ellis, U.S. Army War College Strategic Studies Institute. This is the New World Report, and we're headed to Colombia, neighbor of Venezuela, and that is an important fact. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.